Stephen comes in, stands at the door, ready to retire.
I beg your pardon.
No, come in, Stephen.
Stephen comes forward to his mother's writing table.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
He knows all about the tradition, I suppose.
Yes, it's what I told you last night, Stephen.
I understand you want to come into the canon business.
I go into trade? Certainly not.
Undershaft opens his eyes, greatly eased in mind and manner.
In that case...
Canons are not trade, Stephen. They are enterprise.
I have no intention of becoming a man of business in any sense. I have no capacity for business and no taste for it. I intend to devote myself to politics.
My dear boy, this is an immense relief to me. And I trust it may prove an equally good thing for the country. I was afraid you would consider yourself disparaged and slighted.
Undershaft moves towards Stephen as if to shake hands with him. Lady Britomart rises and interposes herself between them.
Stephen, I cannot allow you to throw away an enormous property like this.
Mother, there must be an end of treating me as a child, if you please.
Lady Britomart recoils, deeply wounded by his tone.
Until last night, I did not take your attitude seriously, because I did not think you meant it seriously. But I find now that you left me in the dark as to matters which you should have explained to me years ago. I'm extremely hurt and offended. Any further discussion of my intentions had better take place with my father, as between one man and another.
Stephen!
Lady Britomart sits down again, and her eyes fill with tears.
You see, my dear, it is only the big men who can be treated as children.
I'm sorry, Mother, that you have forced me...
Yes. That's all right, Stephen. She won't interfere with you anymore. Your independence is achieved. You have won your latchkey. Don't rub it in. And above all, don't apologize.
Undershaft resumes his seat.
Now, what about your future? As between one man and another... I beg your pardon, Biddy. As between two men and a woman.
Lady Britomart has pulled herself together strongly.
I quite understand, Stephen. By all means, go your own way, if you feel strong enough.
Stephen sits down magisterially in the chair at the writing table with an air of affirming his majority.
It is settled that you do not ask for the succession to the canon business.
I hope it is settled that I repudiate the canon business.
Come, don't be so devilishly sulky. It's boyish. Freedom should be generous. Besides... I owe you a fair start in life in exchange for disinheriting you. You can't become Prime Minister all at once. Haven't you a turn for something? What about literature, art, and so forth?
I have nothing of the artist about me, either in faculty or character, thank heaven.
The philosopher, perhaps, eh?
I make no such ridiculous pretension.
Yes, so. Well, there is the army, the navy, the church... The bar? Oh, the bar requires some ability. What about the bar?
I have not studied law. I'm afraid I have not the necessary push, I believe is the name the barristers give to their vulgarity, for success in pleading.
Rather a difficult case, Stephen. Hardly anything left but the stage, is there?
Stephen makes an impatient movement.
Well, come. Is there anything you know or care for?
Stephen rises and looks at him steadily.
I know the difference between right and wrong.
You don't? Say so. What? No capacity for business, no knowledge of law, no sympathy with art, no pretension to philosophy, only a simple knowledge of the secret that has puzzled all the philosophers, baffled all the lawyers, muddled all the men of business, and ruined most of the artists. The secret of right and wrong. Why, man, you're a genius. Master of masters, a god. At 24, too.
You are pleased to be facetious. I pretend to nothing more than any honorable English gentleman claims as his birthright.
Keeping his temper with difficulty, Stephen sits down angrily.
Oh, that's everybody's birthright. Look at poor little Jenny Hill, the Salvation Lassie. She would think you were laughing at her if you asked her to stand up in the street and teach grammar or geography or mathematics or even drawing room dancing. But it never occurs to her to doubt that she can teach morals and religion. You are all alike, you respectable people. You can't tell me the bursting strain of a 10-inch gun, which is a very simple matter. But you all think you can tell me the bursting strain of a man under temptation. You daren't handle high explosives, but you're all ready to handle honesty and truth and justice and the whole duty of man and... Kill one another at that game. What a country! What a world.
What do you think he had better do, Andrew?
Oh, just what he wants to do. He knows nothing, and he thinks he knows everything. That points clearly to a political career. Get him a private secretaryship to someone who can get him an undersecretaryship and then leave him alone. He will find his natural and proper place in the end on the Treasury bench.
Stephen springs up again.
I am sorry, sir, that you force me to forget the respect due to you as my father. I am an Englishman, and I will not hear the government of my country insulted.
Stephen thrusts his hands in his pockets and walks angrily across to the window.
The government of your country. I am the government of your country. I am Lazarus. Do you suppose that you and half a dozen amateurs like you, sitting in a row in that foolish gabble shop, can govern Undershaft and Lazarus? Ah, no, my friend. You will do what pays us. You will make war when it suits us and keep peace when it doesn't. You will find out that trade requires certain measures when we have decided on those measures. When I want anything to keep my dividends up, you will discover that my want is a national need. When other people want something to keep my dividends down, you will call out the police and military. And in return, you shall have the support and applause of my newspapers and the delight of imagining that you are a great statesman. Government of your country, be off with you, my boy, and play with your caucuses and leading articles and historic parties and great leaders and burning questions and the rest of your toys. I'm going back to my counting house to pay the piper and call the tune.
Stephen is actually smiling and puts his hand on his father's shoulder with indulgent patronage.
Really, my dear father, it is impossible to be angry with you. You don't know how absurd all this sounds to me. You are very properly proud of having been industrious enough to make money, and it is greatly to your credit that you have made so much of it. But it has kept you in circles where you were valued for your money and deferred to for it, instead of in the doubtless very old-fashioned and behind-the-times public school and university where I formed my habits of mind. It is natural for you to think that money governs England, but you must allow me to think I know better.
And what does govern England, pray?
Character, Father. Character.
Whose character? Yours or mine?
Neither yours nor mine, Father, but the best elements in the English national character.
Stephen, I've found your profession for you. You're a born journalist. I'll start you with a high-toned weekly review. There.
Stephen goes to the smaller writing table and busies himself with his letters.